thank you for joining us as we discover nothing but the truth with David Johnston.
The most important things in life is the friends that you choose. They will either influence you for good or for evil. Friendships are vital. Friendships are important. But I want to suggest today that you can, in fact, be a friend of God's. And that's our subject, how to be a friend of God. Throughout the pages of Scripture, we are served notice on numbers of occasions of men who were friends of God. Abraham was called a friend of God. Moses talked to God, the Scripture says, and God talked to Moses as face-to-face as with a friend. You can have a relationship with God that is so close as a friend. In fact, would you believe there's a verse in Proverbs that says that there is a friend? There is a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And I want to tell you about that friend and how you can make God your very best friend. Well, friendship is based on principles. So let's review the principles of friendship and how they apply to making God your friend. And the first thing we want to learn is number one, and make sure you jot this in your notes, that friends are chosen. And the remarkable news, look at this scripture with me. God says in His Word, you have not chosen me. Look at this. But I have chosen you. And I have ordained you that you should go forth and bring forth fruit, and your fruit should remain. You see, you choose your friends. Friends should not be in your life as an accident. And here is the remarkable choice. God chooses to be friends with you. But in order to have a friendship, you must respond to that choice of God, and you must choose to be a friend of God's. And so you see, first thing, understand that if you want to be a friend of God, then you're going to have to choose God to be your friend. And here's the good news about this. He is already predisposed to be your friend. He says, I've chosen you, but will you choose him back? That's the question, because if you will do that, you and God can become friends. Well, the second principle of friendship is this, that friendships have to be based on terms. What are the terms of genuine friendship? Well, the Scriptures give a principle that we must not overlook. And how can two walk together except they be agreed? For example, if I'm walking east and you're walking west, it's going to be very hard to walk together, because togetherness and friendship requires going the same direction. In other words, it requires commonality. And so, to be friends of God, you and God have to have some things in common. And in fact, the friendship is impossible if some things are not held in common. Now, everything breaks down into, I think, three categories. I don't know where I learned this. It certainly isn't original. I picked it up somewhere. I want to hand it on to you. It's a very important. Friends don't have to agree on everything. But watch this. In essentials, there must be unity. In non-essentials, liberty. And in all things, charity. Now, let's review those again. There are certain essentials that there must be agreement on in order to walk with somebody. And that's why, even as a Christian, if you are, and I hope you are, and if not, in a few moments, you'll get to become a friend of God. And I'm going to show you how, so that you can become a genuine follower and friend of God. But there are some essentials. And in the Christian faith, if somebody does not believe in who Jesus really is, that he is God, Son of God and God the Son, that's an essential that we can't be friendship. We can't have friendship there because we're not in agreement on an essential. Now, there are some things that fit in this category of non-essential, and that is things that don't affect eternal salvation, and they may not affect, it may just be a preference. So in essentials, friends must have unity. In non-essentials, there can be liberty. We can have room to disagree, but in all things, we must have charity. Now, one of the difficult things is this today, is that vice sometimes holds friendships together, common vice. But in our case, what holds us together with God is that we hold in common and great righteous values and deep-seated truths that are His, that become ours, and we walk together. Now, watch this scripture with me. For it says, the same day that Pilate and Herod, now watch, I just finished telling you that sometimes vice holds people together. And here are two people in the New Testament, Pilate, you remember him, tried Jesus, and Herod, who was the king. Watch this. They were made friends together. Now, what made them friends together? Watch the screen with me now. Because before they were both against Jesus, they were at enmity between themselves. But since they were both against Jesus Christ, that's what provided the commonality that made their friendship. And you see, the greater the commonality you hold with somebody, the greater the friendships. And so, the second thing, to have God as your friend, we must get into commonality with Him. And there are certain non-negotiable items that God's not willing to forsake in order to be friends, because it wouldn't even be the friendly thing to do. Look at the scripture. Jesus says, "You're my friends if you do whatever I command you to." Now, nobody else can say that but Jesus, because, and this is a wonderful thing about the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are so many, but this is one of the things I really love about Him, and it is this: He is right. That's a good reason why you should give your life to Christ. That's a good reason why you should become His friend, because He is right. And if you're willing to be set right and become right, you can be a friend of God. Now let's learn another principle of friendship. Here it is. Friendship, by its very nature, must exclude other people. It is an exclusive. Let's take a look at a couple of scriptures. Look at this one. "Make no friendship with an angry man." Don't be friends with an angry man. No friendship with an angry man. "And with a furious man you shall not go." Here's why: "Lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to your soul." There are some people that should not be your friends. They're not qualified, because they would use the position of friendship to damage you. Now I tell you that when you become a friend of God, not only are there terms, but there is an exclusiveness. You cannot be a friend of God and be friends with those who are against God. And that's the predicament we've got in this corrupted Christianity today, where people are trying to be friends with God and friends with the enemy of God at the same time. In fact, it probably is important that you see this verse and certainly jot down the reference so you can see it again later. Look at this. "Know you not that," look at this now, "friendship of the world is enmity with God." Why is that true? Why is it that you cannot be friends with God and friends with the world, with the world system? And that's because there is another person who's called the god of this world, Satan. He rules out there. And there are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Satan. We're in one or the other, light or darkness, no in between, no grays. So you see, look at this now. Let's go back to the verse, that to be friends with the world is enmity with God. Look at the scripture now. "Whosoever therefore," look at this, "shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Because friendship requires exclusiveness. And you cannot be in friends with God and friends with the enemies of God at the same time. That's why Jesus put it this way: "He that is not for me is against me." You see, there's no neutral middle ground. for God or against them. You say, well, there are people who aren't against Jesus Christ. They just aren't for him. They're just sort of in the middle. They're not really enemies. And Jesus made it very plain. There is no middle category. Because he that is not gathering is scattering. He that's not for me is against me. The indifference is opposed to the very friendship of God. So, friendship must exclude some others. That's the price of genuine friendship. And so, let's learn another principle now. And that is this. That friendship, genuine friendship, requires loyalty. Ever had a friend or someone you thought was your friend who wasn't loyal to you? And if so, I want you to know that Jesus knows how you feel. Look at the scripture. Yea, mine own familiar friend, look at this. It was a person in whom I trusted, and he ate my bread, he ate at my house. And look at this. And now, look at this. He has lifted up his heel against me. This was David about one of his friends. But look at this next phrase. But thou, O Lord. See, the Lord isn't like that. He is loyal to you. And if you're going to be friends of God, you're going to have to learn to be loyal to him. What hurt can happen if friends become disloyal? Let's look at a verse. And it's not an accident that this verse is found in the book of Lamentations, the word from which we get lament, weeping and crying. And look at this. This woman weeps sore in the night. Have you ever done that? Have you ever, as a lady, wept through the night? And there were tears on your cheeks. Now watch this. And among all those that she tried to have a relationship with, her lovers, she had none to comfort her. Now watch the scripture. For all her friends have dealt treacherously with her. And now watch this. And they are become her enemies. If a friend has forsaken you, then I'm sorry. Because I'm not sure very many people understand the depth, the damage, the wounding, the crushing of our inward parts. But I tell you that that's another good reason why you want to be a friend of God's. You see, because this happened to Jesus. That's why the scripture says of Jesus that we have this priest who's touched with the feelings of our infirmities, because it happened to him. Yes, his name was Judas, but not just Judas. There was a whole bunch of them of whom the scripture says they walked with him no more. In fact, one time he turns to his disciples and listen to what he said. He said, will you also go away? How hurt, how empty, how disillusioned. And here it is again in the scripture. One shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thine hands? And he answered, watch this now. I was wounded in the house of my friends. Have you ever started out to be friends with God and then you quit on God? You know, one thing about having God as your friend is that he will never quit on you. It is a good thing to become friends of God. Well, let's learn some more principles about how to become friends of God. Here we go. True friends are always true. We don't quit on one another. Look at the scripture. A friend loveth, guess when? At all times. And he that quits being your friend, I don't think ever was a good one, somebody said. In fact, the scriptures tell us never to forsake our friends. Now look at this. Thine own friend and your father's friend, forsake not. And, oh, I wish we had time to go into this phrase, don't forsake your friends and don't forsake your father's friend. And in simplicity, let's just make a quick application here. If you make God your friend, don't ever quit on him. Because the scripture says, he that puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Don't start out and then stop and then start again. When you make God your friend, stay true to him all your life. Don't forsake your friend, God, nor your friends or your father's friends, God's other friends. Those who are attached to God are attached to you through God. Another thing we learn in Scripture is that husbands and wives are supposed to be friends, best friends. And a husband shows his friendship and his trueness to his wife by being friendly. Look at this Scripture. And her husband arose and went after her. And why? So that he could speak friendly unto her and to bring her again. Oh, hold there, Sal, friends. Whether you're married or whether it's just referring to a friend, if something happens that starts to damage the friend, to the friendship, you go to that person to speak friendly to them and bring them back again, maintaining the friendship, because true friendships are always true. And that's exactly the kind of friend Jesus is to you. And that's why he said in this scripture, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I am with you always, even unto the end. He will never let you go. He will never let you down. He never will. You can count on him because he's a friend that's true. And a true friend is true all the time. Well, another principle of friendship is that friends speak friendly, gracefully, and peacefully to one another. In fact, look at this scripture. He that loves pureness of heart, look at this, for the grace of his lips, the king shall want to be his friend. And that's because friendliness is conveyed by how we talk to one another. Friends speak friendly, no growling, no yelling, no malice, no bitterness. Why? Well, because we're friends. That means we're on the same side. And I'll tell you something I really love about the Lord. I have never had God yell or scream at me. He's never cussed me. He's never pointed an accusing finger at me. He's not like that. He's a true kind of friend, and friends speak friendly. And I want to suggest to you that as you become close friends with God and you begin to listen to God, he will speak to you in friendly terms. And one of the reasons you know it's God that's speaking to you is because his voice and his mannerisms towards you reflect friendliness. They reflect his character. He never yells at you. Well, friends also correct us. And that's a wonderful thing about having God as your friend. He wants to correct us. Because look at this scripture. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Now watch this. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Now, there are times when friends have to hurt us, but they don't hurt us in order to hurt us. They hurt us in order to help us. You know, I don't want to do any more surgeries. I've had enough of them in my day, and the idea of somebody coming at me with a scalpel is not a very welcome idea. But you know something? When the doctor takes a scalpel, and he is going to hurt you, but the reason he's hurting you is to heal you. The reason he's hurting you is to help you. And real friends are like that. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. If they have to wound you in order to help you, they will. The last part of this verse is kind of interesting too. But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Watch out for those who want to kiss you, because kisses can cover up real honest friendship. In fact, they're not covering up real honest friendship. What they're usually covering up is a lack of friendship. They want something out of you, and they are very deceitful. So you see, if friends are to correct us, it's this way with the Lord too. We need to be correctable. He corrects us, not because he's mad at us, but because he loves us. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, even as a father, a son in whom he delights. And let's look at one more verse before we leave this subject. Iron, look at this. Iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. When two men who are friends get together, there could be sparks flying because it's like iron striking iron. But they walk out of there better friends because friends correct one another. And then friends always give good advice. And this scripture is such a delightful one. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. And in the same way, so does the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty counsel. And I want you to know that a genuine friend only gives good advice. If someone's not giving you good advice, they're not your friend. Did they think through the advice they gave you? Better still, did they check with the Bible first before they gave you advice? Are they really careful to advise you, or are they just talking and mouthing off? You see, how much effort do they put into the counsel they gave you? Real friends give good counsel. And you know what? That's another good reason why you should not hesitate one moment to make Jesus Christ the best friend you ever had. Because, in fact, the Scripture does call him our counselor. And you can count that his advice will never damage you. And then, friends are meant to refresh us, not to be burdensome or taxing. Here's a neat scripture. Julius courteously entreated Paul, look at, and gave Paul the liberty to go unto his friends so he could refresh himself. And having God as your friend is one of the greatest sources of refreshing that you could ever experience. In the book of Acts, it says, repent, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. Look at this. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. When you have God as your friend, he blots out all the past sin. He doesn't hold your past against you any longer. And spending time with him together will bring the deepest refreshing that you could ever experience. Because this is not about religion. This is about a genuine friendship relationship with God Almighty. And then friends share joys as well as sorrows. Remember the parable of the lost sheep. And the scripture says, and after he found his lost sheep, he got his friends together. And he said, rejoice with me because the sheep that was lost is now found. And of course, we have the same parable in the lost coin. When the lady found the coin she lost, she called her friends and rejoice with me. And when we get something back, when something good happens, friends is who you share it with. You can hardly wait to get together. And then number 11, friends share secrets. And by the way, they keep those secrets. So with some people, a secret is something you tell one person at a time, but not with a friend. A friend shares secret and keeps secrets. Take a look at this verse, because this is Jesus speaking, and this is what he says. He says, from now on, I'm not going to call you servants. Here's the reason. For the servant does not know what his Lord does. But watch this now. But I call you friends. Now here's why. Because all things that I have heard of my Father, I am making them known unto you. Friends share secrets. And then number 12, friends put each other first. Here's the scripture. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lays down his life for his friends. And that's exactly what God did for you. That's what Jesus did for you. The just died for the unjust. Even while we were his enemies, he wanted us as friends. He laid down his life for us. In fact, the scripture says, here's how we know the love of God. Because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. So in closing, here's the question. If you want to be a friend of God, you need to have the right answer to these 12 issues, 12 principles of friendship. Number one, he's chosen you, but have you chosen him? And if not, you can choose him right now. Make a quality, long-term choice. I choose God to be your friend. Secondly, Are you living in agreement with Him? Because being friends with God requires the adjustment coming into agreement with Him. And number three, are you keeping other people and other things from interfering with your relationship with God? Because you see, it's exclusive. Number four, are you loyal to Him? Number five, are you true to Him all the time? See, loyalty and being true to your friend isn't something you do once in a while. If it isn't there all the time, it's not there. Loyalty requires long-term, all-the-time, full-time loyalty. Do you speak often with Him? Do you speak to Him in a friendly way? When you talk to somebody about Him, do you talk about Him friendly? Do you receive His correction? It's a principle of being a friend of God. Do you receive His advice? Is He guiding your life? Are you refreshed in His presence because you spend significant time with Him? Are you sharing your joys as well as your sorrows with Him? Do you share your secrets? Have you heard His secrets? And do you put Jesus first? Is He your best friend? I want you to know that Jesus is the best friend a woman could ever have. Best friend a teenager could ever have. A boy or a girl. A father, a single parent. If you follow these principles, you can make God your best friend.
Our hope and prayer is that you have been blessed and encouraged through this teaching. Our mission is to edify, exhort, and disciple the body of Christ by teaching nothing but the truth from God's Word, the Holy Bible. For more information about Nothing But the Truth, or to view our teachings, please visit nothingbutthetruth.org.